was good. Oh, let's go to church today. The pastor will be back from Beirut. What does he have to say? What inspiring challenge does he have for us? When I give you that signal, give me that. Well, surprise. What a thrill it is to be speaking with the boss right behind me, looking over my shoulder. You know, if you sit in the out there, which is where I really enjoy being, and let's pray, and then we go for a little while, let's pray again, and then we're going to go, let's pray again, because here we are. Let's see what God's going to do with it. God, we thank you most for this amazing day, this opportunity that you've given us to gather freely and easily on a beautiful, almost picture-perfect day. We applaud the way that you have painted your canvas this morning. Father, now we ask that you would adjust us to hear what you have. Father, you know, as honest as I can be, I've enjoyed the weeks and actually the months of just hanging out in this verse in Luke 19. Thank you for that time that we've had together. Amen. I've done a lot of traveling in the past week, a lot. And one of the journeys took me to Nashville, and I was there on Monday night. I was kind of ahead of the guys that were going to the discipleship forum. And it was hungry. I got there about 9:30, and I was hungry. And, you know, in Nashville, near a hotel, Jesus chicken will abound somewhere. So I found a Chick-fil-A. And it kind of had a, they were starting to fold tables up or put chairs up and stuff like that. So I knew I wasn't welcomed in. So I was going to go through the drive-thru. And I went through the drive-thru. And I got behind a little van that was obviously ordering for Middle Tennessee because it took him forever. And I finally got my simple little sandwich and, where's Micah? Waffle fries and, but a water. And I paid the sweet little girl, and it was her pleasure to have served me, and it was wonderful. And I left. And made the turn. Went on around. Well, I left, but I came back. I apparently didn't get out of the drive-thru. And they're efficient, you know. They're at the top tier of, this is a good plan. If you just follow the plan, all's going to be well. Come on in. And so I went through, and I just kind of waved at her. She, because it was her pleasure to see me again, she waved back. But I was glad the trip included, I followed the little van that had all the chicken sandwiches in front of me. They did the same thing. I felt comfort in that because I didn't feel like an idiot. But so I left again to come back again. The van disappeared. I don't know where the van went. But I came back through this time, and I just stopped to talk to her. I said, you know, you guys are great. I love Chick-fil-A. You're very sweet. You're very good at what you do. The food's good and all this. But I really want to get out of your parking lot. And she waved at me and shut the window. So I'm on my own again with Chick-fil-A. And so I'm going, and I go out slowly. Was that, you know, if you've ridden with me or talked to me or had coffee with me or just been any of it, I get distracted by shiny things. I admit it. I know it's true. But I can usually get out of a parking lot. And I saw where somebody had looked like they had kicked one of the cones over to get out. I think it was somebody's pleasure to keep me in the drive-thru. I'd have stayed there all day had I not noticed the same girl waving at me every time I went by. So I say that, well, for no particular reason, I guess. I say that, though, and you can draw your own conclusions. I'm going to try to get out of the parking lot. I'm going to try to get you to your parking lot so that you can go have roast beast or whatever it is you're going to have for lunch. But as we go, you pray for me. I pray for you. If you've got a Bible, and before we do that, as always, feel free to doodle right now. Because if you were speaking, I'd be doodling. I'd be paying attention, but I'd be drawing little creatures or notes or whatever. Feel free to doodle. I will not take offense to it. If you do have your Bible, and if you don't have yours, you've got a phone. If you don't have a phone, you've got one in the pew. Or you can just listen. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen as if it's the first time that you've heard this, as if, because this may be the most important thing that you hear. Regardless of anything that I say, I'm not performing for you. I'm not trying to entertain you. I want to be honest and relay what God has been talking to me about and what he showed me in this. But if you're paying attention, the greatest word that you may have today could be what he says to you in 10 little verses in Luke 19. There's a lot there. I've really struggled to kind of hem it all in. Take me out to lunch and we could go hours. But we're gonna try to hit the high notes. But if you will, this is God's word. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried, and he came down, and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house." Since he's also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Can I have some water? Jericho, it's new and improved. You've heard of it, though. The Old Testament, it's in there. All sorts of places that you see Jericho. It's pretty prominent on an east-west route for trade and all this from Judea to Perea. And later when we're going to find out that he's a tax collector, it's a great place to get money to get taxes. So he entered Jericho and he was passing through. He was coming. He was going to be leaving, but he was coming. And he had entered and he was there. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Here are the simple facts. Man named Zacchaeus. I don't think we hear anything else about him. There's another Zacchaeus, but we don't, this Zacchaeus. But it's a pretty good story. He's a chief tax collector. Because of his location, lots of opportunity to tax things. He worked for Rome, which meant that Rome set a quota for taxes. And then on top of that, tax collector could just kind of skim whatever he wanted on top of that, kind of his commission. And it could be a pretty serious gouge. I think the way the Jews would see it is that he got rich off the backs of the Jews. Chief appears only here that I know. I mean, it's chief tax collector. And Mike and I were on our way back, and in the scriptures you don't, but usually when there's chief like this and it's referring to some sort of man, it's usually nothing good that comes with it. So he's the big kahuna of tax collectors, and you have other little tax collectors behind him and if they're all taking a skim or taking their part, you kind of get the impression that he took a little of that. So, you know, the other thing that you do know, it says he was rich. It made him rich. Also made him hated among the city. And I don't think I can't fully appreciate it of how hated he probably was. Well, you know, we told the tax man, I don't think that's really the same. I mean, he was a turncoat. I mean, he really was. He had betrayed his own people to do this. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he couldn't because he was small in stature. He was waiting to get a look at Jesus, seeking to see who Jesus was. Was he sipping his coffee, eating a buttered bagel, reading the Jericho morning paper? Heard a bustling and a rustling outside. Near his gate were all these voices. They were excited. They were clamoring. They were fussing all about Jesus. This Jesus is coming through. Jesus is going to be coming right by here. And maybe a thought occurred to him. I keep hearing great talk about Jesus. His fame is everywhere. Maybe there really is something extraordinary about him. I think I'll go have a look. And for, you know, and something that occurred to me, or that God occurred to me when I was looking at this, he's not just going to take a peek. He's not just going to, you know, it's not like a carnival and there's a two-headed snake and stuff like that. He just wants to see it and move back. It's something extra in there. He wanted to see who Jesus was. What does it mean? What was it like? He wanted to hear it for himself. The words that people kept tripping over, both good and bad. However he arrived, for whatever reason, when he arrived, he couldn't see. Because he was short, small of stature. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. I don't know the rest of the words, that's all I can remember. Come down out of that tree, something like that in there. But he was a wee little man. He couldn't see. And Jesus wasn't one who, like, man would excel in their thought of themselves. He wasn't being carried on man's shoulders. He wasn't riding in an open chariot. He was just, and have you ever thought, and this is where I get in trouble because something occurs to me. What did Jesus' walk look like? He didn't strut, but he walked everywhere. But what would it have been like? Would it have been this? There's no answer. I just wonder. I'm back over here now, sorry. And then there's the crowd. For whatever reason, they compelled Zacchaeus into the street. A crowd has shown up with their own varying reasons on this same day, to the same space, to see the same man. And there were many of them, and they were all taller than Zacchaeus, and all very much unconcerned that he couldn't see because they were all elbowing and shoving their way so that they could see. And it's a funny thing about crowds. As a collective whole, they become their own entity with their own temperament, with their own indifference and their own disposition. And not that there aren't good crowds. At best, crowds cheer on their favorite teams, sway and dance and applaud at concerts. Amen and hallelujah at revivals and conferences. But at worst, crowds can be morally confused. They can keep people out or away, or much worse, they shake their fists and shout words from venomous hearts, and they become mobs. In this case, the crowd was just keeping someone from seeing Jesus, even if this person was somebody that was a turncoat for Rome. But I pray for you too, that we're never part of a crowd that keeps anybody from seeing Jesus. This is only my speculation, this next part. Only my speculation. Hear it? I'm just... Being wee or short, it didn't happen to Zacchaeus over a matter of hours. He didn't have some dinner, enjoy his cheeseburger, go to sleep, and then wake up the next morning half the man that he was. He didn't begin to shrink down. He never shrunk up. Do you think it bothered him? Do you think that his height didn't go unnoticed to those who had no trouble being tall? Do you think that all the years of hearing the short jokes and even that short song, nagged at him, hurt him, so that one day he catches the want ads and he says, there's a position for tax collector, work for Rome, think I will. Even if it meant being hated, is it possible, and this is only my speculation, that it was a way that he could give back? I could see how it could happen. I don't know that it did happen. Only speculate because we all feel the tension and even the real need to compensate for something. Maybe being the tax man was worth it, and it came with a big paycheck. But the facts are, he sought to see Jesus. He sought to see who Jesus was. But there's an obstacle. Well, two, perhaps. Three, okay, four, actually. He was short, there was a crowd, he was a tax collector, and he was lost. So he ran on ahead and he climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And now it starts to pick up a little steam, this story. His desire to see Jesus seems more than casual and more than ho-hum and more than just, oh, well. He may have just easily gone back home, but now he's working the problem out. He ran on ahead. He ran on ahead. It's big. It was considered, this is a quote, considered extremely undignified for Middle Eastern men to run anywhere. Running was for children. Running required men hike up their robes, I was going to say skirts, their robes, and it would expose their legs, which I could kind of appreciate if you've seen mine. But necessity dictated it. If he was going to see Jesus, he was going to have to get ahead of the crowd. He was going to have to get a move on. And he climbed up into a sycamore tree just to see him, to get a glimpse. And I don't think, as a rule, Middle Eastern men probably climb trees. Especially, I mean, Zacchaeus had a little juice. He'd be powerful, especially those guys. And no one, especially in a robe, is going to do it. So he's, you know, and I've got to put this. This is not me. I've read this someplace long, long ago. But, you know, the only way Zacchaeus got to see Jesus, because he was out on a limb. As they say, that'll preach, I guess, somewhere. And it was a sycamore tree. Actually, it was a sycamore fig, I think, but who really cares? But it was a sycamore tree, and they're broad, like an English oak, I think. But I always call them the angel, the rain trees. It's in Africa. They're broad, and they've got these low, swooping branches, and it's perfect for a guy who's wanting to get ahead of a crowd. It's suitable for climbing and hiding, and it has broad leaves, so he can get in that tree, he can get on that limb, he can kind of tuck away because of his size, and he can at least see Jesus as he comes by. It's a good plan, Zacchaeus. I'm just curious, when was the last time you passed by a tree on a perfectly good day and go, I think I want to climb that? Deer hunters are going, that's me, I'll do it. I do it all the time. Deer stands, great, I see them different. But usually we don't. As a boy, I did. But I did think about it. I was talking to Courtney, and our little ginkgo. It's not ginkgo. It's ginkgo. The tree out here that's real pretty. It had some good limbs. You could climb those. Zacchaeus found a spot that he could climb. And it's perfect for a man who can't see to get over the crowd and to be able to sit, to see down. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. His calculations were correct. Jesus came right by the tree, and it's good. And Jesus looked up, and he saw him. He made eye contact. He noticed him. He valued him. And when do you think the last time anybody looked at Zacchaeus and gave him literally or figuratively, really. And he didn't, he got it, but he had no idea who was looking at him and what it meant. Maybe not yet, anyway. And of all the nameless people in the story, Jesus speaks to him. He doesn't give him a what's up, man, and nod and go on under the tree to an oak or a pine later. He talks to him right there. Calls him by name, Zacchaeus. And he speaks it in such a way that unless you've ever been and known the weight of being broken and how it warms your soul, that's got to be how it hit him. Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. I need to stay. I must stay at your house today. And they're simple words, but words that convey an urgency. Right now, time is of the essence. And do you ever understand that God is not, we're trapped by time. Do you think that God is more interested in timing than time? I think this was perfect timing, and he's compelling and urging Zacchaeus. This Jesus who saw him and speaks to him is now offering, this is cool, is offering and initiating his hospitality to Zacchaeus. He brought his own welcome, an intimate self-invite into a home. During these days, it's a big deal. Close quarter conversation over a meal, it's a big deal. Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, and it's happening. And here's his response. So he hurried, and he came down and received him joyfully. Response is immediate. He doesn't delay. Me? He doesn't linger and keep his distance. He isn't embarrassed. He doesn't white-knuckle, saying, I don't think so. He wasn't waiting to make a change. He was being changed. It was happening. It was in motion. He came down in a hurry because delays are dangerous. And he came down humbly. And his receiving him into his house, to quote Matthew Henry, is an indication and a token of his receiving him into his heart. Up to this point, had you really considered Zacchaeus having a smile on his face? I mean, because generally when you're joyful, your face knows that, and it explodes. He's come down, and joy is the appropriate response. You could say that he climbed up the tree one way, but he came down another. You can nod approvingly. I thought that was pretty clever. He went up one kind of man and came down a different. And when they saw it, they, the infamous they all grumbled. He's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And you can't forget that the grumbling, that grumbling crowd, because it's the essence of most crowds to grumble. The crowd who kept Zacchaeus from seeing Jesus apparently doesn't see Jesus who was right in front of them. And fair enough, Zacchaeus is, he's grown rich off their backs, he's betrayed them, he's wronged them. And if it were us, we would feel justified in our murmuring and grumbling too. Because it's a scandalous thing for anyone to associate with such a man. Much less one entering into such a setting, such an intimate setting as this. And there are those that are in the margins for sure, that who by life and things that are unfortunate events and reckless behavior have been broken on the wheels of living. By habit or by virtue. But Zacchaeus is not a victim. He's an oppressor. He's a sinner man. But so are we. They knew his past life to be bad. Jesus saw his present life to be good. Well, it's scandalous. It's definitely scandalous. But grace is a scandalous thing. And Zacchaeus stood and he said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. Do you see it? The conscience awakened, hearts changed. Zacchaeus makes a declaration to Jesus, but he stands up so that he can be heard by the murmuring grumblers that are against Jesus for coming to his house. And his statement indicates a change in his way, a change in his heart. Repentance. I've been rotten to the poor. Now half of what I have, I will give to them. And as added fruit of his change, he says, and if I've defrauded, and it's kind of abstract. If I've defrauded, there's a great chance he has, because he's. And if I've defrauded, gouged, extorted anyone, I will make it right, by 400%, which is actually the law for restitution for a thief found in Exodus. Which, if you look back just a couple of chapters, the rich young ruler, this is an obstacle that he can't get over. Jesus tells him, now go, give half of everything that you have. And then, you remember, he walked away sad. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. Jesus has come to him, and where Jesus goes, he brings salvation. Listen, Jesus has come to him, and where Jesus goes, he brings salvation. And as Jesus has affected Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus responded, and Zacchaeus will affect his household. Zacchaeus will disciple his household. Please understand, in our wanting and needing, because we're responding to God to be imitators of him, to live and love the way he does, we're not going to save anybody. What we heard this weekend, Jesus is going to save them. We're expected to disciple them. And Jesus goes on, by birth, a son of Abraham, but as a tax collector, he was considered a heathen. But as he shows true sorrow and regret, he is made upright in court. Zacchaeus isn't making this because somebody's suing him. He's not making that statement. He's doing it because there's been a flip. And Jesus continues, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And to quote Matthew Henry one more time, we're all broken because of the fall. It has become a lost world. Lost as a city is lost when it is revolted to the rebels. As a traveler is lost when he has missed his way in the wilderness. As a sick man is lost when his disease is incurable. Or as a prisoner is lost when his sentence is passed upon him. The gracious design of the Son of Man is he came to seek and save. To seek in order to saving. He came from heaven to earth to seek that which was lost, which had wandered and gone astray, and bring it back. We've all got obstacles. Zacchaeus had obstacles. He was part of his own obstacle. The crowd has an obstacle. You and me, we got obstacles. We all have obstacles that require Jesus and a cross to be made free. And then we, in turn, get to go be a part of a process for others to be able to do the same. To Matthew 4:19, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And I will make you. That's the transformation. And it continues. It's going to, the change is ongoing. And I really didn't think of this till I was tying a tie, and I don't know what it had to do with anything. But years ago, and if many of you, especially students, are going to know this, I started picking up pennies because pennies have value. You can pick up 100 and still can't buy coffee, but the United States has deemed them valuable. It costs more to make one than it's worth, but it is valuable. And I saw one and I picked it up and I go, man, you pay attention, there's a lot of pennies. And I began to really try to train myself to pick up pennies because they do have value and because they remind me of me. At any given point, on any given day, any given one of us are going to find ourselves feeling like a Zacchaeus, a little lost, a little turned around, a little broken, a little beat up, a little misunderstood, a little this, a little that. And you just need someone to notice that you exist. That will say, I see you. I got you. We'll call you by name. Even if it's just a hello. Even if it's, how you doing? And then you pump the brakes and stop to listen. So I started picking up pennies. And I did a test. This was years ago. So some of you probably now have children in this room. When more engineering, was a convenience store. The kids would stop there. And I would put a Coke out, and sometimes they would get it. I would put a, I'd throw a couple of pennies down. No way, look at them. A nickel, I was hiding. And I was watching the reaction. And they'd walk over in nickels. Quarters could sort of get their interest somewhat. I didn't have any half dollars or anything like that. But folding money gets better. I left a five out there. I mean, they picked it up like they placed value on the valuable stuff that everybody else sees. But they weren't a penny. It's disposable. And I started picking up pennies because I didn't want to miss people. You know, I think about it a lot that how many of all the years I've been doing this, how many have I missed? And a bunch, I'm sure. So to help myself not miss anymore, I started training myself to find value in the little things, in the people that seem disposable maybe to the rest of us because they're not in our circle. They're not doing what, it's not convenient or we just don't notice them. And I love to tell you that I've not missed a single person since then, but that would not be true. But when you begin to look, you begin to see them. I think the disciples in their transformation process, you don't get that they're here, they're there. They don't get any kind of highlight in the story. But later, after all is said and done, and they finally get it, and many of them are going, you know, I'm going all the way with this. They're around the campfire thinking about Jesus. They're laughing because he had a great sense of humor. They're melting because he loved them like nobody else. And they're going, you remember that time when we were in Jericho and Jesus saw Zacchaeus and then went to his house and what caused all this, but yet all this happened. And man, it was so cool because he just extended himself to him. We get that now. Do you remember we didn't get it then? And one of them is going to say, I didn't even notice the sycamore tree, much less a man sitting in it. But because they were imitating and living and loving like Jesus, and in the context of who they were and where they were going, they caught him, they saw him. They got it, ultimately. And began seeing people the same way that Jesus did. As lost and broken and needy of something greater than they could produce for themselves. So, if the only thing you can take away from the Zacchaeus story, celebrating the fact that the conversion is in there, is also go, was this also an opportunity for me to go, but he noticed him, and he looked at him, and he spoke to him. We could do far worse than that, you know? Pay attention. I mean, in here, yeah, out there for sure. Where you go? It's always available. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you most for being honored, I hope, this morning, that we have made much of you, that we see how great you are. We realize just what stirs in us that needs to be put away and what wants to get out and celebrate, Lord. So we ask that you would take your conversation this morning as we go eat and as we go down the road and as we go to our homes and as we live our lives, Lord, continue to remind us and continue to teach us and continue to train us to live and love like you. In Jesus' name, amen.